quality as spoken by the personified earth.
Well, we'll read the first verse in this chapter, which has no purport, and then read today's verse, second. First verse in the chapter. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, when the great devotee Uddhava was asked by Vidura to speak on the messages of the dearest, Lord Krishna, Uddhava was unable to answer immediately due to excessive anxiety at the remembrance of the Lord. Verse 2, he was one who even in his childhood, at the age of 5 years, was so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for morning breakfast, he did not wish to have it. Purport. From his very birth, Uddhava was a natural devotee of Lord Krishna, or a nitya siddha, a liberated soul. From natural instinct, he used to serve Lord Krishna even in his childhood. He used to play with dolls in the form of Krishna. He would serve the dolls by dressing, feeding, and worshipping them. And thus he was constantly absorbed in the play of transcendental realization. These are the signs of an eternally liberated soul. An eternally liberated soul is a devotee of the Lord who never forgets him. Human life is meant for reviving one's eternal relation with the Lord, and all religious injunctions are meant for awakening this dormant instinct of the living entity. The sooner this awakening is brought about, the quicker the mission of human life is fulfilled. In a good family of devotees, the child gets the opportunity to serve the Lord in many ways. A soul who is already advanced in devotional service has the opportunity to take birth in such an enlightened family. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 6:41. Suchi nam srimatam gehe yoga brashto bijayate. Even the fallen devotee gets the opportunity to take his birth in the family of a well-situated brahmana or in a rich, well-to-do mercantile family. In both these families, there is a good opportunity to revive one's sense of God conscious automatically, because particularly in these families, the worship of Lord Krishna is regularly performed, and the child gets the opportunity to imitate the process of worship called archana. The Pancharatriki formula for training persons in devotional service is temple worship, whereby the neophytes get the opportunity to learn devotional service to the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit also used to play with Krishna dolls in his childhood. In India, the children in good families are still given dolls of the Lord like Rama and Krishna, or sometimes the demigods, so that they may develop the aptitude of service to the Lord. By the grace of the Lord, we were given the same opportunity by our parents, and the beginning of our life was based on this principle. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Buddhale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saratvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pastita Deshitarine. Uddhava was Nitya Leela, and the symptom was that at the earliest stage of his life, he was absorbed in worshipping Krishna. But Prabhupada's purport informs us that even if one is not Nitya Siddha, he may get that opportunity if he's born into a good family, a devotee family, that is the opportunity of worshiping Krishna from the beginning. And it's a fact that if you start training a child from the beginning, that he will develop in Krishna consciousness very strongly. Once on a morning walk, Yogeshwar was asking Prabhupada some questions. I was there, it's also on a tape, in Europe. And he asked Prabhupada, he said, the people, they may say about us that we have just, in our training of the children, we're just conditioning them to a kind of life, and that this is the same phenomena as in material life, that one is just a product of his conditioning. Srila Prabhupada accepted that this was a kind of conditioning. He said, but it is a conditioning. They were badly conditioned before. Now, if they become trained or conditioned to the principles of bhakti yoga, the absolute truth, then that is very good. Just as with anything else, the same principle, when it is properly used, can lead to your perfection. Narada Muni says, does not the same thing that caused the disease, when treated therapeutically, cause the cure of the disease? Just like milk too much makes you constipated, but milk in another form will be the cure of that disease. Let there be Krishna conscious training of youth. That is not mundane. The spirit soul comes into this world. We read later in the third canto. He's a pure spirit soul. He wants to go back to home, back to Godhead, and not have to take birth again. He has these thoughts while he's still in the womb. But then when he's born, immediately he's materially conditioned. By the pain of birth, he forgets his spiritual nature, and by surrounded by the parents who do not know Nitevadu Svartikatimi Vishnu. They don't know the goal of life, and they don't know the goal of life for their child. So conditioning immediately begins. So, however, if immediately there can be Krishna consciousness, that spirit soul can revive his God consciousness from the start. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj advised that Komaram Acharat Pragyo, from the very beginning stage of life of Komara, baby, he should be trained up. Of course, that is babiness or childishness. Still, it is an impression. And then at 5 years old, actual Gurukul can begin. But even before that, in fact, even before being born, this training can begin. The mother can chant Hare Krishna, and by hearing and chanting, even the child, because he's actually a living being, although he's in a very difficult situation, he can hear about Krishna. But now, there's no idea like that to train the child in Krishna consciousness. In fact, they want to kill the child if the birth is inconvenient before he's even born, and say that he does not exist, he's just some tissue. But actually, the spirit soul is there, even in the embryo form, and he can hear. So there are cases of that in the Shastra. Prahlad Maharaj himself, he heard from Narada while in the womb of his mother. And Maharaj Parikshit, he saw Krishna in the womb. He was in his embryo state when the weapon of Aswatthama came into the womb of his mother, Uttara, so that it was about to burn him. When Lord Krishna appeared to protect his child, the last in the dynasty of the Kurus. So he came as Paramatma, and he circled around with his club and chakra, and he protected the child. Actually, the body was burnt, but he gave a new body. And the child is called Vishnu Ratha. He was saved in the womb by the Lord, and he's also called Parikshit, because once he was born, then he would always look around to see if he could again capture a vision as wonderful as the vision he saw before he was even born of Lord Krishna, Paramatma. So Parikshit means examiner, and he was always examining. Although there was no one to equal Krishna, who he saw in the womb, just by always being in anxiety, where is that form that I saw, he remained Krishna conscious, always. So this is extraordinary, but commenting on the position of Maharaj Parikshit, Jiva Goswami says that every child who is trained from the start in hearing and remembering and seeing Krishna, he can become as great a devotee as Maharaj Parikshit. The principle is that Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha and Kripa Siddha. Siddha means perfect, and perfect means to know Krishna in truth. So hardly anyone knows Krishna in truth. Manusyanam sahasreshu kasya yatati siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kasya mambati tatvata. But one can know Krishna in truth by associating with a pure devotee. The Nitya Siddha, he never falls. He's always in the eternal association of Krishna, as Krishna never falls. Krishna comes in his own form to this material world, and sometimes he brings, or always brings, his entourage of eternal liberated associates. But sometimes when he's here, by associating with Krishna's Leela, the conditioned soul, he becomes perfect, either at the time of Krishna's manifest Leela, or by hearing from the parampara representatives of Krishna, who come, also Nitya Siddha, who come not just when Krishna comes, but at every moment. Prahlad Maharaj said that the incarnations of the Lord are as numerous as the waves in the river. So the pure devotee, he's also Shaktivish avatar, a jiva empowered by Krishna. So when pure devotee is there, and the conditioned soul associates with the pure devotee, or in the time of Krishna Leela with Krishna, he becomes also inclined to Krishna consciousness, either by taking to the rules and regulations given by the spiritual master, or by getting the special blessing. If he gets the special blessing, that's called Kripa Siddha. And that is not the normal procedure, that without even going through the stages, immediately one is blessed with advanced Krishna consciousness. That can come by the special blessings of the pure devotees like Narada Muni, who blessed Prahlad. Did such great sages like Narada, they blessed by their glances, they blessed by their words, and they blessed by even their good intentions, so that anyone who receives these blessings, he can become at once pure devotee by the kripa of the pure devotee. But if you follow the kripa or the blessings of the pure devotee in the form of his instructions, then you can become also perfect anya bilashita shunyam jnana kamarya navratam. You can give up all this material attachment. And even among great devotees there are examples, like Valmiki, who was, of course, we cannot estimate these things, how sometimes even the Nitya Leela appears in these in this material world, appearing to be not pure devotee at first, like Valmiki or others, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But aside from that, even those who are actually fallen souls, they get this mercy, just as we got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we have to keep practicing, but we shouldn't think that, oh, this is all excluded to us, these becoming Krishna conscious and seeing Krishna. But rather by hearing, chanting, and following, we also can come to that stage to become dear to Krishna. And we should apply this principle. Even if we miss the chance of Krishna consciousness from the start, we are inclined to preach by the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. So an essential part of the preaching is to make a foundation where the future generations, they can get this benefit right from the start. So therefore, we train our devotees in Garbhadhan Sanskar, because as they perform sex for having a child, the state, the mentality is very important. If they have a bad mentality, a demon will be born, like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. That was the example. They were a very good husband and wife, Kasyapa and Aditi, or Diti rather. So fully qualified to produce the best children. But she wanted sex at an untimely occasion in the evening. And he said no, but she persisted. And so Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaka were born out of that illegal union. And so this is called Varna Sankara. But we want to produce good children, so the training has to begin right then by responsible sex life. Dharmo virudho kamosmi bharatarshava. Sex according to Krishna consciousness. Then, as soon as he's born, he should be trained in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada tells about his own example. And in another place he says that, I was born into such a family, and my spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, was also. We had this advantage, both being trained up by Krishna conscious parents, and later by the transcendental, by the order of the transcendental system, we met. So this is very advantageous. So if we did not have it, we should try to supply it to others. That's a natural human inclination. Just like if someone goes through a poor, unfortunate childhood, youth, but somehow or other he becomes wealthy and well-situated, then he doesn't want his children to have to go through that. So we are somehow saved, better late than never. So we should have that natural attitude that somehow we were very fortunate to be pulled out of the ocean of the hellish, going to the hellish planet, the hellish situation. So now we should not let the future be so risky for others. Establish this Krishna conscious education, at least among our own members. So Prabhupada said how he got this benefit and his spiritual master. His spiritual master is considered Nitya Siddha, a ray of Vishnu. There are two kinds of children who are born to Krishna conscious parents. One is that an already liberated child is born to this family. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, please, I want to spread Krishna consciousness, but how can I do it alone? I need someone from your own staff, he prayed to the Lord, to come and give me assistance. And so Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was born very auspicious from the very beginning, pure devotee. He remained a Naishtika Brahmachari a whole life. And from the very beginning, he showed all symptoms, and these are described in his life story. How from the very beginning he attracted Lord Jagannath, and there are many signs. So that is one kind of child. And another kind of child is a conditioned soul, but you bring him to the liberated platform. Not that he's already liberated, but your responsibility is to see that he's liberated. Guru nishishyat, svajana nishishyat. Pita nishishyat, janani nishishyat. Daivam natatsyat, napatisthisasyat. Namochayat yat samupetya mrityam. No one should become a pita, a father or a mother, unless he can save his dependent from death. The parents, the king, the guru, they're all superior, and they have some subordinates, and they get some enjoyment, or they get some worship and the reciprocation. The parents enjoy the growing up of the children in different ways. The king, he gets service, the guru gets service, and they get worship. So if they receive that without delivering liberation, then they'll be condemned for receiving that benefit from their subordinate. And what they have to deliver is freedom from birth and death. Now, Srila Prabhupada says, by the grace of the Lord, we were given the same opportunity by our parents, and the beginning of our life was based on this principle. Well, Srila Prabhupada also can be, his situation can be studied as Nitya Siddha. Because as Uddhava was a natural devotee, the purport says, from a natural instinct he used to serve Lord Krishna. Even in his childhood, he used to play with dolls in the form of Krishna. These are the symptoms of Nitya Siddha. So, Srila Prabhupada also, born the day after Lord Krishna's appearance, day in this world, had a very pure Krishna conscious father, and immediately his father brought him to Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada said, I don't remember a time when I was not Krishna conscious. And later this was all to manifest. Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vinanaha Tara Pavartana. That he had full Krishna Shakti, extraordinary displayed, although all the acharyas, they have this Shakti. From time to time, the Lord shows extraordinary Shakti, even among the great souls. So what was shown through Srila Prabhupada was hardly shown in centuries through anyone else. So how can he be other than directly empowered Shaktivish? Just by that very judgment. You don't have to get esoteric. You just see what was manifested, what kind of Krishna Shakti. And according to that verse, no one can manifest Krishna Shakti unless he has been blessed by the Lord. So the childhood was there that he used to see his father doing the artik when he was just a child. His father would come home late at night from his business, and Prabhupada would be wakened hearing the bell ringing, and then he'd look over and see Krishna being worshipped by his father. Such a nice impression. I once on a walk with Srila Prabhupada went past a store and saw there were battleships, toy battleships in the window. And I said, Srila Prabhupada, this is what we were playing with. We were playing with Radha Krishna. Does this have any effect? He said, yes, the impression is still there. So these things are there. And he was seeing his father worshipping Krishna. So if you have an opportunity, even though you're not great, great soul, if you've gotten the mercy and you can give this to a child, then this is very good. Therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, I would have sex many times if I could have a Krishna conscious child. So he would see his father ringing the bell. Then as soon as he could be put in the carriage, he went out with his father to see the local temple, Radha Govinda temple of the Mulaks. And he took great pleasure and was very much attracted to seeing the deity there. And then he asked for his own deity. And his father observed all the religious functions with his child, like the Ratha Yatra. Of course, that was Srila Prabhupada's idea. And his father assisted him to hold a big Ratha Yatra when he was only a child, when most boys are just bewildered. Prahlad Maharaj, he says that how we waste our life, 100 years you have, and he calculates how you waste it. That's to say that we might live 100 years. You hardly hear of anyone living 100 years. But if you have, say, 100 years, theoretically, he says the first 10 years of life are wasted because a child is so bewildered. Then at 10, he's a little more coordinated and together, and he starts playing ball and sports and running around for another 10 years. So that's another, as far as self-realization is concerned, another wasted time. All these sports are simply wasted time, knocking a ball back and forth, knocking a ball in a hole, kicking a ball, balancing a ball, throwing a ball, knocking someone else down to get the ball. So it's literally speaking waste of time. So then when he's got 20 years old, then he wastes it again with chasing after women and then developing household life. Prahlad Maharaj, he said, 10 years in bewilderment, 10 years in childish sports, then at the end of life, these are years that are completely wasted. Another 20 years can be taken off as being when he's invalid and there's no chance for beginning self-realization. He's just too old and debilitated. And then, so that's 100 minus 20 minus another 20. However, then take the balance And there's only 50% of that, because actually 50% of life is wasted in sleep by most people. So there's hardly anything left for self-realization. But if you get this start, then it'll be... Start means brahmachari. So brahmachari up to the time of marriage. Then if you want to get married, you'll be a fixed-up householder. This is brahmachari, and means celibacy, and learning what is Krishna. So... In this context, we're discussing Srila Prabhupada as a liberated soul. He was worshipping the deity. But then at 5 years old, or 6 years old, he wanted his own deity, just like Uddhava. And so he was just a child. He was playing with the deity, and his sister used to play with him. And even the older children couldn't see what is this devotion. Although they were also born in the family of pure devotee. They would tease Prabhupada and his sister, that if you just always play with Krishna, you won't get properly educated. So they said, we don't care. We just want to worship Krishna. Then Srila Prabhupada describes in one of his Bhagavatam purports that later when he went to college, he went out of the way of this regulated worship. But then later when he met his spiritual master, he again took up, not just in a playing way, but in a formal way, the same worship that he had begun in his youth. Now this is Uddhava, that he didn't even want to go to breakfast. He was so absorbed in hearing about Krishna. So are there any questions?
Yes.
You heard that verse, if it makes you want to not become a guru or a father or a worship of any god, as you can say, it's dependent on death. So is it then if someone is called a guru, someone is called a sannyasi or basically that means that person is automatically qualified?
Or say Brahmin? Yeah. Is he automatically qualified?
Yes.
Just because he's called a Brahmin? No, but you're saying just if someone is, you said if someone is called a guru,
if we, or stand for a certain name, just like someone put in the position.
No, not just like you receive Brahmin thread. So, like when Prabhupada gave the first Brahmin initiation, then he saw the boys the next day, he said, now don't be Brahmin just in name. So although he had conferred Brahmin initiation, then that was bona fide. Although that's contested by caste Brahmins in India, nevertheless, according to Shastra, if one associates with a pure devotee, even though he may be compared to base metal, by association with the devotee who's a touchstone, then that base metal-like person, he can become also touchstone and qualified as a Brahmin. But still, although Prabhupada's giving you Brahmin, or any devotee Brahmin, makes you a bona fide Brahmin, you have to live up to that. So we can't say that you're... If Prabhupada gives you Brahmin, then no one can say on some caste basis that you're not a Brahmin. But they can observe your activities and then say that you have to be acting Brahminical. You have to be, what are the duties of a Brahmin? So, as we're told what a Brahmin is in Krishna Consciousness Movement, if one acts properly, then he's Brahmin. Similarly, Prabhupada's conferring of sannyas is bona fide. And if the person stays free from sex life and follows the activities of a devotee, that he'll be sannyas. And similarly, guru, or you say temple president.
To world, there is no one but liberated devotees. We should never think that we are just a small group. We are somehow not with it. We're not doing what everyone else is doing. We're odd. We're in a minority, and we may even become an oppressed minority. And this is our constitutional position because we've taken to Krishna. No. It's because this little tiny corner of existence is so condemned and perverse that what is religion has become irreligion. But in the total existence, Krishna's devotees make up the far greater majority of existence.
No, you, just like when you got Brahmin, the next day, if someone said, did you get Brahminical initiation? Would you say, no? What he actually did is, he gave me a chance, and maybe sometime in the future I'll become Brahmin. No, you'd say, well, although I'm fallen, by his mercy, yes, I'm now chanting Gayatri, and I can do the deity worship. I'm actually now a Brahmin, by Prabhupada's mercy. So it's not that he said, I give you a chance, and 5 years later, you can start chanting the Gayatri. But immediately you do the functions of Brahman. So you are Brahman when you got initiated. Did you think like that when you got the Gayatri, that you actually were, that you couldn't do the functions of a Brahman until some time later, that you had to get another authorization from him? As far as the functions, didn't you begin the functions right away?
The function was there, but that actually, as far as the purity is concerned, that I really wasn't up to the standard. So that the initiation was given in order to assist my progress in
yes. Life. Just like we say, initiation means to begin. So it's not that everything is completed. But begin it is, just like Harinam, when you get the initiation. Then you know that your karma is taken away, and although you're just a neophyte as anything, you can chant the holy name linked with Krishna in disciplic succession. But within, a devotee should always feel that he's the most fallen, and he needs Krishna's help. But Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness, our process is, if we're given the function by the spiritual master, then we discharge it, even if within we feel we don't have a qualification. Because if he says we should do it, then we have to do it. It would be almost cowardly not to. Just like sometimes when there's a special emergency, just as in Kali Yuga there is, but in the state when there's emergency, the sheriff may deputize different persons who are normally not police officers. But then they have to go out and act as police officers. They're authorized. Although, by experience, they're not qualified. But they can act. They can do all the things of the police officer for that emergency. So our principle is similar. And so the expression is that normally, to become a judge, you have to make all qualifications, pass the bar, become a lawyer for so many years, then be selected, then be appointed. And then you can sit on the judge's bench. But in Krishna consciousness, we sit on the bench, and then we get the qualifications. So that sitting on the bench is not by usurping it, but if the spiritual master says, you sit on the bench, you become judge. And then if you do it, if you have faith, but if you are afraid that, I don't know, Gurudev, if your word is strong enough, I may not be able to do it, I won't do it, then that is a lack of faith. And if someone else also has lack of faith, oh look, he's sitting on the judge's bench, he's not qualified, then he doesn't have faith in the guru's order either. So therefore, you're right that when you received your Brahman, you felt, oh, I am not qualified. But actually, with with good, staunch faith in Srila Prabhupada, you did the activities of the Brahmin. Sometimes that would happen. Someone would not want to take the second initiation, even when he was offered it. But if Prabhupada wanted you to do it, then you should do it. So as that applies to Brahmin, it also applies to the Guru. Now you can also look even in the Shastras and find some of the qualifications, even for, say, Vanaprastha. The Vanaprastha and Sannyas, the qualifications are extremely severe, and they're not all followed in our present Krishna consciousness movement. But we have the adaptation of those things according to the modern time for our preaching and for, out of Prabhupada's leniency, what he set as the standard is the standard. Say a Vanaprastha in the Krishna conscious movement, he has to stop his family relationships with his wife. He wears saffron. But for preaching, he may travel on the bus or in the car or in the plane or do different activities. But we read the Vanaprastha, he's supposed to wear bark and only live in the forest, and I don't know, just eat the leaves that fall off the ground, off the tree or something like that. So we don't have to follow all those things. But we have to follow what Srila Prabhupada gave us. However, if one were just wanting to be critical with ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada, he might look at that and say, oh, you're not a bona fide Vanaprastha, or you're not doing what a Brahmin says, or you're not doing what a sannyas says. Or here's a description of a guru that at every moment he's always wrapped in trance and seeing the form of Shamsundar before him. Are you seeing that? Are you a real guru? So you may challenge on these bases. But we have to go by the actual standard. So the standard of guru is that he always repeats the words of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada said it's not a very difficult thing to become a guru. But if you are doubtful, then the doubt is, it goes back to doubt of Srila Prabhupada. The principle of parampara is not understood then. Parampara means it has to continue. That person who was Brahmin, if he makes someone a Brahmin, then he's a Brahmin by parampara. It's not that only one is qualified.
Because I know that there's different gradations of Brahmins, as there are, you know, sannyasis, and of course, you know, gurus also, and as in the spiritual world, there's different relationships should not stand in the way of, you know, the disciples of the new acharyas, because then I can expect that you know, they're going to advance, and so it may even be possible that they'll advance quicker than me. So,
or greater than their guru.
I understand that that's true, but I'm very interested, you know, to understand really what my position is as, you know, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who, you know, wants to follow strictly, you know, wants to, you know, become pure. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's important because, as you said, you know, for one who doesn't want to find fault with the society that Srila Prabhupada has created, you know, or the devotees that Prabhupada has created, you know, to actually, you know, be honest, to understand. So, I know that I'm not honest, but I'd like to understand.
Right. Are there any other questions? Yes.
Why does Prabhupada always say we instead of I? Like in this book where he says,
I have never asked him why, so I can only give some reasonable replies. Or what I've heard other God brothers say, that that sound reasonable. And one is that that he's speaking on behalf of the disciplic succession, which is plural. And somehow, even without knowing, it's very pleasing. It seems proper. This Prabhupada is not an ordinary I. Maybe Dravida could tell us according to grammar.
Well, I don't know. But one thing is, because Prabhupada went to college and under the British influence, you know, British Scottish Church of Scotland, and there's something called the regal we that the queen or the king would usually refer to, especially in a formal setting.
Yeah. So when he's fully taking the formal role of acharya or king.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it certainly forces me to be on a Krishna conscious standard, to know that so many people depend on my being on that standard. It doesn't allow me to indulge. I was just reading something like in Prabhupada's book that was relevant. Something about the, anyway, but that I can say. What I just, well, I answered it, but not at length, but that's the answer I can think of. You have more? I can try to answer it again. Just the order of our spiritual master.
And just because, in a sense, the whole world is depending upon us.
Yeah.
So an example of Krishna consciousness, so it is our duty to be as perfect as possible, just so that others will get the best opportunity. So the duty is there, but just like in devotional service, in the beginning one executes vidhi bhakti out of duty, but then there's higher stage. So I'm sure you're doing it out of that sense of duty, but I'm sure there must be some kind of internal impetus also for advancing Krishna consciousness. It must also give some kind of internal inspiration or impetus to become more and more Krishna conscious?
Yes, that's coming from the Supersoul. When we do our duty, that in itself is the complete obligation. That duty itself is compassionate when we execute it. And as we try to be compassionate out of duty, then the Lord within assists us to do it with inspiration or with spontaneity. We have to qualify for that. As you say, that's not just for initiating guru, but for everyone. If you think of it, how many of us there are and how many billions of people are non-devotees, so although they're not very willing disciples of their shiksha instructors, the Hare Krishna devotees, nevertheless, they're our dependents who are supposed to receive Krishna consciousness from us. It's like those who are going out to distribute books and preach to people. Everyone they meet is, they're responsible for them. And in this city, you're responsible for all the people. So we all have so many potential dependents. And if we fail them, or if we're not compassionate to them, then we won't have that spirit that we must give them Krishna consciousness. We must remove from them the barriers that's making them not advance. And that will, either their willingness will inspire us. It's like if we do some program and it's successful, you see someone come forward and become a devotee, or at the feast there are many people, so your success inspires you. But even their reluctance should inspire you. If we're actually advanced, then will be an anxiety to see their suffering condition. Why don't they surrender to Krishna? Why can't I help them? Why am I not empowered to help them? Why can't I make them understand Krishna consciousness? So that will be an impetus to our own advancement as we try to help our unwilling God brothers or disciples. And Prabhupada says everyone is a rebel from the Brahma Sampradaya, but he is meant to be follower of Lord Brahma. We have to bring them back. Yes.
I have a technical question. It's not a highly important issue, but I'm curious. Several years ago, one devotee made a statement in a philosophical discussion that the disciple should always consider his spiritual master to be a nitya siddha. I was wondering if you could comment on that for me.
Well, I saw in a letter that Prabhupada wrote, that I also used in a book. Someone was asking something like that, I suppose. But his reply was that usually the spiritual master is from the group of the eternal associates of the Lord. But sometimes the spiritual master is not of that group. But he becomes qualified by association with a pure devotee. And so that's that nitya siddha, sadhana siddha. So he should think that he's perfect and that he's as good as nitya siddha, but he doesn't have to think that he's a nitya siddha. But he shouldn't think that, oh, he had an ordinary birth and he did ordinary activities, therefore now he's ordinary. That's in the nectar of instruction. One should not criticize the spiritual master based that he has a faulty body or by his complexion or by some material consideration. Prabhupada writes in one purport, sometimes the disciples are concerned why the spiritual master gets a disease or is ill. They should know that he has nothing to do with the bodily platform. So he can't be judged in that way. Just like immediately we have Srila Prabhupada, so anyone coming after him That's, you can see that if he's actually following the instructions of such a great soul, then I can expect these instructions are bona fide. Any other? Yes?
During the lecture, you said that Prahlad Maharaj said that an old man who's invalid is not a good candidate to take up the self-realization. But generally, an old man, he has trouble breathing and he can't really travel, see his family anymore, or do anything that he used to do. Because none of us can find his house. So wouldn't that be especially a good time to begin feeling without the Lord?
No. In the next verse, as Uddhava is described in his childhood, it's described that even when he was old, he never slackened. But that, so when you're trained up, then your old age doesn't produce that kind of reaction that you become, only absorbed in the bodily situation. But yes, you can make it the occasion that you can't get around, so you just sit down and chant Hare Krishna, or you go to live in a place like Vrindavan. So that's the Indian social system. That he should retire from his business, he's getting old. Old means death is coming. Sit down somewhere and chant Hare Krishna in Vrindavan or Mayapur. But you'll find, practically speaking, it's very, very difficult. They've already gone through a life of foolish infatuation, attachment to business and family, and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And up until the end, they're so materially attached that we don't find that they... Prabhupada said, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. He said, why are so many people young in this movement? He said, that is the age for Krishna consciousness. So, because you have to make a commitment. You have to give up meat eating, you have to give up all things. You may say, well, the old person, he has to give them up. But then he doesn't give up the pipe, or the watching the TV, or the reading the newspaper. And it's hard to change habits that have been developed for 60, 70 years. We may find an example of someone who, as you say, is taking advantage of, he's a little thoughtful, he must have been a little pious along the way, that he can do it at the end. I'm not saying you can't, but if Prahlad Maharaj said that's generally how it's used, we have to accept it, and also we see that. That if you approach the old people and ask them to join this movement, chant 16 rounds, start offering their food, start doing this, it'll be very difficult for them because their ways are so set. The young person, he's a conditioned soul, but his ways aren't that set, so he can change. He's open-minded. But the old person is very closed-minded. Life is over. He's got his opinions are set. He's lived, he knows better than anybody else. It's very hard to change an old person's opinion. He thinks he knows, especially if the person who's trying to instruct him is younger. So, you young whippersnapper. I knew all these things before you were even born. There's no God. Prabhupada said when he was living in Calcutta at that address that there was an old man who lived right nearby in the neighborhood. He said, whenever he would, sometimes he said I would talk, because we were neighbors, neighbor men. And I would talk to him, and whenever I would say Bhagavan, he said he would get angry. He said, why are you saying Bhagavan? You always say Bhagavan this, Bhagavan that. He said, and Prabhupada said, he was an old, old man, and still he would become angry whenever I would say Bhagavan. So they think they know better. So those old man atheists, he'll be even more... Harder to turn, he thinks he knows everything. The young person is a little more inclined. Yes, and they can chant the holy name. That one grandfather or grandmother died, and the devotee told Prabhupada that just at the end, I was always talking about Krishna to her, so she said, is Krishna here now? And Prabhupada said, oh, then she has gone to the spiritual world. So if you can get them to say the holy name or hear the holy name, at that time, then it is auspicious. Rupa, do you have grandparents?
Yes.
Do you ever chant to them? Say, chant Hare Krishna. Do they do it? So this class has been a lot about Gurukul, just so that it prepare you to go to Gurukul. When are you going? Fall. All right.